Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We're back. And as the song goes, it's the best time of year to have another, brother. Hey.
Summer's here.
Summer's here. Well, summer's here unofficially.
Right.
Welcome to episode 10 of the Vibecast, the podcast celebrating the early 21st century Philadelphia music phenomenon called Chico's Vibe.
Yeah, there we go.
I'm your host, John Parkinson. I'm here, as usual, with producer Matt Kelly. And Matt, we're coming up on June 2022, and it's time of year to break out, you know, your Beach Boys playlist and start thinking about a trip to the Jersey Shore, specifically the Sea Isle City.
Yes, right.
The Havertown of the Jersey Shore.
Yes. The deep Delco.
That's
of Jersey
right.
Shore.
Or if gas is too much, you can go to that hidden beach haven. Yes, in Valley Forge, Pennsylvania. Where else?
Yeah.
Called Valley Beach.
True.
But you want to do that to see live the guys we have with us today. Little known fact, the Delaware County Tourist Bureau named these guys the official Beach Boys of Delco. Yes. Wow. Yes, it's a new era for the Ardmore Boys of Summer and the South Philly Sun King. That's right. That's right. Dennis Cicchino. John Gephardt and Ed Mount of Chico's Vibe. It's a new era because we refuse to be bumped by Tiffany ever again.
That's
ever.
Right. Yes. Ever. You know, well, you should see us in our Speedos when we get down there.
If we ever wanted to end a good girl, like, we could
end. Yeah, right.
You could test the white balance of any camera with me and my Speedo.
But to give our audience a heads up for what's on tap today, another Chico's Vibe, the Netflix series episode. And since we're talking sun and sand, took me a second. Since we're talking sun and sand, I thought we'd do an episode, plot an episode based on our experience in the Bahamas. So as Gabby reminded me, we had talk a little bit. We had two trips to Breezes in the Bahamas and one cruise where we stopped in the Bahamas. But I think we're going to focus. The cruise is going to be a different episode. We're going to focus on Chico's Vibe at Breezes in the Bahamas.
Okay.
Subtitled Adventures with Funky D.
Funky D. Yeah.
And then we're going to have a special episode from producer Matt Kelly.
Ah.
I know a little bit about that, but I'll let that reveal as a surprise when we get there. Then we're going to talk about our song from the set list. This week it's Can't Take My Eyes Off You.
The new version.
The new version?
Oh. The one that you found.
Oh, yes.
The drop dead gorgeous.
Oh, version. Lord.
Yeah. We're going to pull that out at Rose Tree Park.
We never really did it for the priest last night.
No.
They would have loved it.
Oh, my God.
But anyway. So that, and if we have time, we may do another Love It, Keep It, Trash It.
Yeah.
If we have the time. It depends on how long. The Bahamas discussion could go 2 minutes.
That could go way off.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're building up episodes. I don't know how many we have, but we're going to be ready to go.
All right.
So it's Chico's Vibe in the Bahamas. And if you remember, we made two trips to the Bahamas. One was January 2009.
Sounds like a Partridge Family episode or something.
Yeah.
See him getting
or the
off
Brady's
the...
go to Hawaii. Right. Chico's Vibe goes to the Bahamas.
Yeah, right. January 2009. Yeah.
And then the second one was February 2016.
And what a trip that was.
I'm trying to remember who the guest stars were on those episodes, though. With Jim Backus, he was in the one.
Tattoo was in it.
Marianne.
Was Tattoo in the Brady?
Marianne, played by
Jim Burke
and Tony Dow.
Because the second one was it was
as the Beaver.
Wait, no, that's Jerry Mathers.
Jerry Mathers, right? Hey.
Who was Dow? The brother?
That was the brother. Yeah, the old
Hugo Mott.
Oh,
Tony
my God,
Dow.
Talk about. Yeah, the train can't even find the rails. No. I mean,
we're already off the rails.
All right, find the rails.
Come on. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
The second one was it was a Super Bowl weekend. It was the Panthers.
Oh, yeah.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun. The first one was fun, but it was an experience. There were all kinds of.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted to see if you guys could set the stage for how the first one happened. So we got a lot of people to sign up. I think there was a travel agent, got people on the plane. We had a bus chartered from the plane. And we had our own Chico's Vibe beach towels.
Yes, we did.
Which Ed Mount informs me he still has one.
I do too.
I don't have one.
It's huge.
They're enormous.
Yeah, they're enormous.
Yeah. But do any exist? I have a feeling there's a warehouse full based on things I've learned about.
No, I know I have one or two.
Okay.
You'd have to ask Karen Rawlings.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And that's kind of how the trip came about.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
we just played her son's wedding down at the Ben Franklin. And if you guys remember, we're playing the first song, which was Into the Mystic, their first dance.
And the power went out.
The power went out.
Yeah.
I remember that.
So I jumped off the stage with my acoustic guitar, unplugged it, and went out and started playing. And you horn players came out and followed me.
Yeah.
And we just surrounded the bride and groom and played the rest of it.
That was with Vaughn.
Yeah, of course it was with Vaughn. He needed like 50,000, 20.
We needed 21 gigawatts. 21
gigawatts. He's like, you seriously going to give me a problem with this?
Everybody in the Ben Franklin House condos.
Remember, they would always ask us, do you guys really need a Tesla coil, like going at full power? And we're like, yeah, that's how he powers the system.
Anyway, Karen Rawlings, who was the groom's mom, loved the band so much. And her friend Tammy Luvener. They used to go down to Breezes all the time. Like, they would go down like once a month, you know.
Yeah.
And they start saying, you guys got to come down. And, you know, they would love you down there and a great place and blah, blah, blah. So we looked into it. And then they came up with the idea of getting these gigantic beach blankets and selling them to finance the trip. And I think we gave more of them away than we ever.
That fell
sold.
Through.
Yeah,
I didn't sell one, to tell you that. I mean, I probably
now it comes out.
that's
like the thing at the end of the episode. Chico did not sell.
Well,
anything.
We didn't. Well, that's the thing. We didn't have anything to do with
that's
those.
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's like another extra part to that story from a couple years later, which Ed could tell you about next episode.
I don't think we need to go into that.
Yadish became sort of our director of activities.
What?
The submarine boat.
Which I want to say I did not know anything about.
Well, you could blame Yadish.
Yeah. I didn't even know about it.
I went the second time.
Well, I think it is one of his secret societies. He's in a couple of them.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And he told me never to.
Right.
I know there was
cool,
the.
Man. We actually got to see sharks in the wild, like out in that. And I never went in the water after that.
I remember the guy on the boat going every time we would. And over there was Oprah's house. Yama.
Oh, my gosh. Every house we passed. Right. Somebody else.
$1.2 million.
Yeah.
Yama.
Well, in Key West, they're like, Roy Schreider has a house here. Like, he's been dead for about a decade now. Might not be his house anymore.
But I didn't even know he was dead. The guy from Jaws.
Yeah.
Good.
We get down there. One thing I remember, so we all got on the bus and headed over, and we pulled in. And the roads were kind of nuts down in the Bahamas. They just are. And I think you're on the other side of the road down there, too. Right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I remember getting there, and we looked nice on the outside.
Yeah.
And then we got in, and I don't know who said it, but there was a bunch of us. We had to stand there and wait, and they had our luggage. And somebody goes, this is like the 23 East, but on the Bahamas. I think you're right.
It could have been Kathy DiGirolamo.
Okay. Yes.
I do remember it was cold.
Yes.
It was not like you could go out in shorts and a t-shirt and sit on the beach. And I mean, we did.
Yeah.
But it was chilly. You didn't really
go swimming.
It was
February, I think, wasn't it?
January.
January.
It was January. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it was, we're in the Bahamas, so we're kind of hoping for better. But yeah, it was cold. Yeah. One of my favorite pictures is, speaking of beach towels and cold, and the Sun King is Ed Mount. He's just like wrapped like a mummy in a beach towel.
Absolutely no sunlight could touch me.
He looked like an actor in The Invisible Man. You know? They wrap him up so you can see him.
But there was, on the beach, was the Denison, you know, was the first Chico and Gebby trapeze act we created.
That was incredible.
Because there was a trapeze on the beach.
That was horrible when the keyboard hit that guy.
It was epic.
Guys, they did it with their instruments, folks, which they shouldn't have done.
Actually, I was playing scenes and I'm flipping.
I'm bottle of red.
Sue McClellan did the trapeze. Sue Gillespie. She went up and did the trapeze.
Should we call her up?
Sue Boyd Gillespie.
Sue Boyd McClellan Gillespie.
McClellan Gillespie. Yeah.
I got a story about her, too.
Uh-oh.
Does it have to do with
the
Bahamas?
When we get to the jet skis.
Oh, yeah, I got a story about that, too.
Didn't Matt Gallagher?
Yes.
I think it was Matt and D-Val were the trumpets. Or maybe.
Was it D-Val?
Who was the other trumpet?
You know what? You're right. Yes, it was Dave D-Val.
Okay.
Because I had a story about him, too. But anyway.
Yeah.
Well, him and his girlfriend? Yeah. Who's his wife now?
Well... You could partake in certain illegal activities.
Oh, and, yeah. They're legal down there.
Might have been legal down there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, illegal in the States.
Yes.
If you want
to
say. In some states. But yeah, the only way you could acquire it was by going into the bathroom and getting a toilet paper tube.
Oh, geez.
In exchange. I think Dave can confirm that.
Ball?
That's how you exchanged the goods.
What if the guy just made it up just to make him look like a jackass? You must go to get me toilet paper center. On one side Chiclet, other side Starburst. It'll make sense.
They did have.
And then he just laughs.
I just remember that the beaches were covered like with vendors.
Yeah.
Like, people just selling shirts, seashell necklaces, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I had long hair at the time, and one of the women on the beach kept coming up. I can braid your hair.
Oh.
No, I don't need a braid. Oh, yes, you need a braid for your hair. Look at all these things I could put in. I'm like, I don't want a braid for my hair.
I think I would have liked to have seen you completely in braids.
I would have paid her to give you braids.
My brother had a Batman t-shirt. And on the beach, the guy went, hey, Batman, Bruce Wayne likes Cubans. He tried to sell it. My brother's like, no, I'm good.
Wait, your sister went and lost her luggage, right?
Yeah, None of the luggage arrived from the flight.
So
I think it was like the firefighters that took up a collection for her. She went to the trip.
Oh, that's right. That's why I said there was a lot of people there.
Yeah.
We did have the firefighters go.
I think it was some of the firefighters' wives might have gave her a few things.
Because that's when... Yeah, not to jump the gun, but Mags McGoldrick broke his leg down there, right?
Yes.
He came on the stage to sing My Girl.
Yeah.
And walked off not realizing where the steps were to get off that stage.
And right, and
bang,
there's no medical in the Bahamas.
That's right.
So,
poor Mags.
So he just had to suffer through the rest of the trip.
We had Tommy Moran.
Like, if you ever played Super Mario Brothers when he falls off the edge of the video game, that's exactly what Mags did.
Because we kind of did
fell
laugh
off the edge of the video game.
Was it Joe Chester?
Joe Chester was there.
Mike Kelly. A bunch of the firemen and their wives. Yeah. Fun.
But I remember getting there, and I don't know if we had to play that first night, but I feel like, I think George went, and I think George...
We did. We did have to play that first night.
And George went right away to see what the sound system looked like.
Yeah, and it was a mess.
Yeah.
It was just pieces.
Like when you look at it, this sound happened.
He had brought some of his stuff on the plane, but that was the guy. It wasn't Funky D. I forget who my contact was.
Right.
And I was in touch with that guy. He got all the gear for us.
Oh.
Rented all the gear for us, but had no idea how to set anything up.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah, so.
But it worked
we
out.
Spent, you know, we got there, got in our rooms, and then George and I spent like the
That's
next
right.
2 hours
yeah. Yeah.
getting the stage set, because we did play that night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of bringing stuff on the plane, I remember I might have, you know, because it's international terminal. I might have been walking down with Ed, and we saw Dom. Dom went on the gig.
Yeah.
And the first thing we said to each other is, oh, my God, he has the pad. He brought the pad. He's carrying it on the plane. And just visions of, you got the groove over and over.
Come on. Come on.
This is him alone in his room. Come on, you got the groove. You got the groove. Yeah, that's it. I'm gonna use that one.
So talking about the guys on the beach, the vendors on the beach, right? So Gabby and I said, let's go get a couple jet skis. We saw jet ski guys down like in front of the next resort, and we got a whole bunch of people to come with us. Ed, you were there, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
and my sister Donna was there
because you did the haggling. Matt. You're like, listen, I got all these people. We
right,
want to go
right.
water skiing.
We go
give
over,
me a
you know.
Deal. He was just like doing that. I was spin off.
Bahamian guys,
like, and it was everything down there was that
it was
way.
A deal. Yeah,
yeah. There was no like official thing. It was just, hey, this guy's got jet skis. Come on over.
I actually liked bartering with the guy better than the jet ski experience, to tell you the truth, because I go over and he's like, oh, 75. Because
you did that like yelling at Matt voice. It was great. He's like, look how many people I got ready to go jet skiing.
Come on. You can't even charge us that much. No way. No way. Look, I got like 10 people.
And the guy's just like,
I forget what the price ended up being, right? But everybody is supposed to have
something.
Life preserver, right? They're supposed to have one per person. And everyone's supposed to have one of those wristbands that connect to the like automatic off switch.
Ignition,
so when you fall off,
the thing doesn't.
Shuts down.
Yeah.
Right. All right. So we go over, and you're like, he's throwing out these like disgusting life preservers to everybody, you know, and he gets down to it, and there's like just one left, and it's like between me and Sue Gillespie. And I said, oh, man, what do you do? You just have one left? I go, you know, you can't get on a thing. And, come on, man, you know how to swim, right? I said, yeah, I know how to swim. Yeah, sure. So he gives it to Sue. And then he doesn't have any of these things left either, the wristband things, the automatic turnoff thing. He goes, I can tell, man, you know how to drive one of these. You know how to fall off. I'm like, yeah, all right. So I get, you know, I'm out there like with no protection at all. And we're going. So somebody made a video of it. It might have been, was it
Donna.
There? Donna?
Oh.
Donna made a video of it.
Look, see, the crowd just keeps expanding and expanding.
Yes. So I'm watching the video like later on, I guess, when we got home. And you see Gabby going by like.
No, I didn't. I actually didn't do them because right before I didn't know because right before we were playing volleyball, we were recreating Top Gun, the volleyball scene on the beach, and I actually hurt my back.
It must have been Matt and Gallagher.
Well, Matt, like, that cracks me up because there is video of Matt getting on his
like a story too.
He was getting on his
the jet ski,
and you see it and the. And it won't go. And slowly, all of a sudden, it starts tipping to the side. And he goes in. The thing flips over. And he was like, you know, the guy's telling him, do this, do that. And Matt's like, it's not doing it. And the thing's turning over. But go ahead.
So, no, I was just going to say, I had never done it before. So I'm out there. And I'm, the guy says, it's real sensitive, you know. And I'm gunning it, and I'm not moving that fast. And I'm like, and I'm starting to go nose up.
Oh, no.
Like this. And the guy's yelling from the shore, hey, come back, come back. So I turn around. I go back, and they look, and all the seaweed and gunk was all. So they're ripping it out, right? And they hand it back to me, and I gunned it just like I had the whole time. And I went. I went, yes. And I was like, oh. So that could have been me that went.
That's what I saw. Yes. I saw a couple people go like zooming by, including myself, because I'd been on those things, you know, a thousand times.
I didn't know this.
You see like three all over the place. And then you see Sue McClellan and her friend. Who was she?
It was, oh, God. Patricia? They lived across the street from me.
Cazone, Patty Cazone.
Patty, yes.
Patty Cazone. Yeah. They're like doubling up on one, and you see them come into the frame.
I totally remember that.
The tortoise in the hair.
Oh, God. I was hysterical.
That's great.
So that was our jet ski experience. I forget how much we paid. Did you take the seaweed home, Ed, that those guys pulled out?
I should have. I could have made like a whole nice necklace.
They made a necklace out of it, I think.
To curl on the beach. Yeah. I can make a necklace.
And how many people from your family went? Because I remember Sue and Kelly went. That's back when they still did
stuff
with us.
Both my parents went.
Yeah.
My sister, Rosemary, Sue went.
Yeah.
And also my mother-in-law, her boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
And his children. Gab, you have like 42 sisters. I think all of them.
Right.
Just the one.
Oh, just the one. Oh, right.
No, I had G and her husband, Tim, my cousin Anita and her husband, Frank.
Right. They're, I remember both, that.
They were all there.
I think Chantel's parents.
Chantel's parents. Right.
Yeah.
All right. Let's count up everybody.
I know there was a wedding couple.
Oh, maybe I'm thinking of it wasn't until
the very last day they said.
Was rough. Yeah.
Al Roth was there with.
Yeah, we might have had 100.
Let's go with 100.
We might have had 100.
The first time we had a big crowd. The second time we did not. Yeah, that was where, like I said, Sue in those texts today. You know, what? How did people get so jaded that they didn't want to go the second time?
Yeah.
But we had fun. Well, let's talk about the performance, though, because we
Dominic had some friends and one couple left.
Yeah, they went to the hotel.
Said this place is a dump.
Yeah, they
something.
Went like hotel two doors down.
We don't want to get sued by breezes, but it was an appealing dump. I mean, I kind of liked it. You know, you went in. The first thing you saw was the daiquiri slushy machine, which were
24 hours.
Yeah.
You could just, I swear to God, Matt, everything would close, but the slushy machine would stay open. You could be 2 o'clock in the morning and walk down from your room and like, I'm going to get a slushy. It was alcohol.
Yes. Yeah.
One restaurant always stayed open. It was like the cafeteria or something.
It was the buffet cafeteria downstairs. Yeah. The food was pretty good. It was like island food plantains.
Yeah, it was like
I ate a lot of those little square carrot cakes that are just like an inch by inch, you know? And it's
plantains
really, it's,
were the
it's
best.
Almost like imitation cake. It's just mush, you know? I ate a lot of those.
You have a very sensitive constitution, too.
Yeah, that's true.
But I think we performed twice the first time we were down there. They were pretty good shows, right?
Yeah, pretty good shows.
And then one time there was like a previous show where the island. There was like an island presentation.
And they
an
did
act came in.
With fire.
But they looked like they were in mummers costumes.
And it was
kinda.
Like, what are they called? Junkaroo? Junkaroo, I think,
Junkaroo,
or something like that.
Yeah.
They came in with they had drums and they did a dance and the whole thing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was really cool. Yeah.
And that's where we got our fire limbo idea, where we light up the trombones. Right.
And I remember who the Junkaroo guy pulled up to do the limbo on fire. It was Jody Allman. Even Jody was there. And he had to I think it was he got into the limbo position. He's 2 inches off the floor.
Yeah.
And she laid on top of him.
Oh.
Like backwards, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how they did it. They went under the limbo pole that way. And she was all island up, you know, really cool island outfit and the whole deal. So she looked like part of the act. But I remember that sitting there Jody, good job.
Very cool. And then we played with I guess he was a regular act there. I ever knew him as was Funky D.
He was a cool guy.
He was very good.
Funky was great.
He did a couple numbers with us.
His name is David.
Yes.
Ah, Funky David. Doesn't have that same...
David.
David Johnson, I think.
I'm trying.
I think his actual first name is Funky. It's short.
Last name is David.
It's short for Funkerford. Funkerford David.
Oh, Funky boy. Was cool. We got some great pictures.
I'm Funkerford Davidson, the entertainment director here at Bruises.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy.
You should try Funky D. Yeah, that's it. Funky D.
But then... I kind of don't remember coming back. Maybe we were just... Wait a
we
minute.
Never
no,
did.
I do remember coming back because the Eagles were in the NFC Championship against the Cardinals. And we were on the plane and we were trying to get
cell phone reception. Yeah. And then we got back and they lost.
They had lost.
But All in all, I had a great time on that first trip.
Me too.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun because you also knew it was February. And even though it wasn't...
It was January.
I'm sorry. Sorry, I did it again. And even though it was January, it was a getaway.
It was fun. It was yeah.
I think we missed the snowstorm too, or was
I
that?
Think
the,
you're right.
Well,
yeah,
it was.
I think we
it
just
was
missed something.
Snow and it was real cold when we left. Because I remember me and Matt drove down together and parked. You know, in the I don't know if it was short term parking or whatever.
Yeah. Did you have to stop at
me
McDonald's
and him?
On the-
we did. We went to there and then Taco Bell.
And then shortly thereafter, Matt Gallagher quit Chico's Vibe.
Yes.
But the second time, maybe less happy memories.
There was me and you had a good one. You, Allison, and I went into town.
Yes, that was really fun.
We had David Lees with us in the first part of that trip when we stopped at some roadhouse, a fish fry or something.
Stopped at a fish fry, yeah.
And... You and we started drinking right then.
Yes, that was Super Bowl Sunday. We started.
Yes, it was. And I'm saying, let's go into town. And Dave's like, oh, I don't really think, well, you know. I said, well, I'm going to town. Me, you, and Monica went down, and we start drinking those gigantic, whatever they were, hurricanes or something. And
then we got. It was that early that there was a Sunday. I don't know if you remember, there was a Sunday service.
Yes,
and the women came out and they just looked stunningly.
Oh my
beautiful.
God! All those colorful outfits that they had. Yeah, we were just walking around like three drunks. And,
yes, and they were so nice. It was so we were like, oh my God, they look so. And we were drunk, but they did look beautiful. And they looked so beautiful. And then we had the nerve to go up to them. Excuse me, we just wanted to say. You look so pretty. And they're like, would you like your picture with
us? Yeah. They were all into it. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
They were so thrilled. And it did look great.
That was really cool.
Better in the Bahamas. Is it really, though?
Yeah. But yeah, it was fun.
It was
fun.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to be a challenge, Ed, when we write this, because every episode ends with a wedding photographer being killed.
Somehow. Oh, absolutely.
So, somehow, yeah.
Photographer or wedding planner.
Right. So maybe one comes on
but
the trip.
But I think what would be even more satisfying is that's an after credit scene. So you have the end credits. And then right after the end credits, you see the, all right, so I'll get these developed, even though everything's digital now.
It would be a wedding that was taking place that didn't have anything to do with us.
It's just like.
She slips on Dennis's vomit. And then
you see like the shadow, the silhouette is unmistakably Dennis. And you just see like a mic stand. Oh my God. But I was saying, even though everything's digital, the guy has to be like, I'll get these developed and we'll see how these turn out. That was another great wedding. Especially when I stopped the band to take that big group photo and totally killed the vibe of the dance.
You guys
set.
Had the whole dance floor packed.
You just see the shadow and the silhouette and the swinging of the mic stand.
Hey, you don't have to see anything. You
And you hear that dun 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 dun, dun or the tone.
And not to beat up on wedding photographers. When did they stop getting dressed for weddings?
Oh, I know. I know.
Seriously.
What you mean. Yeah.
They wear whatever they want. I mean, for some, come in their pajamas. I mean,
right.
Converse high tops.
All right. That's Chico's Vibe in the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Which I think can get us to, Matt. Maybe our feature segment. For this go around, it's a surprise segment from producer Matt Kelly.
All right?
Wow.
Yeah, here we are.
And I think I gave you guys a little bit of a hint of what my understanding was of this segment is. But Matt, perhaps you can take over and just explain a little more,
and then get
us going.
So this is a little bit like the Love It or Leave It type vibe. So I have found a couple. We'll say unique covers of songs that are in your usual set list.
Yeah.
And I'll play you some clips.
Oh, please.
And you guys let me know you know, hey, I was into that. I kind of hated that. We should replace the way that we do it and take over, like steal right. their style. So,
right. Well, wait, Parky, what was our thing? Love it, hate it. What was
love it? Keep it.
Love it, keep it trash. It.
Love it, keep it trash. It. So we'll kind of combine the two of them.
All right.
But I'm not even going to tell you what the song is. I'll just hit play. You can figure out what they're covering.
Wow, this is so something good.
All right, here we go. Here's the first one.
Oh, wow.
I didn't know this was what time it was.
Well, listen, I get the...
I know trash it.
I kind of like it.
And if all my dreams come true, I'll be spending time with you. Every day's a new day.
I kind of dig it.
I kind of like it.
That was by the California ska band Goldfinger doing I Love You More Today Than Yesterday. Here's the next one.
Yes!
Yes!
Where I began, I can begin.
Absolutely!
Definitely. So then
I know
this
that
it's
my favorite
thing.
Bravo.
No, it's not the it's not Joey.
I can't wait till people ask for Sweet Caroline.
We're doing it just like that the next time somebody requests it.
Send it to Yaddish. Yes. Come on.
Yes.
That was Me First and the Gimme Gimmies doing their cover of Sweet Caroline.
Oh, my God. It was so good. How do we throw McKeever in there?
All right. Here's option number three.
Oh, this is cool.
Ooh.
Oh, it's cool.
Those pretty faces always made you stand out in the crowd. Someone picked you from the bottom.
Thumbs up from me.
Was all it took. And now it's much too late for me.
Take a second look.
So, oh, baby, give me one.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
I'll show you that.
We still have to do the background.
Back in your heart.
Oh, darling, I was blind.
That was good, man. Yeah, that was cool.
That is a YouTube group called the Scary Pockets that do funk versions of popular songs.
That was really cool.
That was cool.
That was cool.
I think people would hate it. But,
yes, we would like it. Yeah. Ed, wait. Ed's got a look. Did you like that or not?
No,
you
did. I did like it.
Yeah,
but
I liked it too.
You can't dance to it.
No.
Yeah, right. Good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they definitely took the danceability out of it.
Yeah.
I'm going to predict...
Not really, man. Come on, I was grooving.
Dennis is dancing.
Yeah. I'm going to predict this is the least favorite of the eight songs that I have, so okay. Here we go.
Waiting for the break of day.
You didn't get the words right.
That's the wrong lyric.
I'm kind of indifferent on this. I mean, you're comparing it to Chicago.
You know, this to me, this would be something I would enjoy to see the band do it live, but I wouldn't go and listen to it.
So, it's like that really well, heavy rhythm section, guitar, bass thing.
So that's actually a two-piece band called Local H. So it's a drummer and a guy who rigs his guitar so that he can play the bass and guitar licks
at
simultaneously.
It's kind of like Matt Bohinsky.
Yeah,
so he's playing the bass line with his finger and then doing
Matty
the leads
show.
With the like finger tapping the leads.
And he could do all
time.
The vocals all together at once.
First of all, I didn't mind it, but...
It was close to...
Yeah.
As far as the feel with the guitar and everything with the original, so
I didn't dislike it.
I give it a three.
I didn't dislike. Yeah. I'm giving it a middle.
I'm gonna say
the middle rating
two and a half
trash
out of five.
It.
Say
I'm gonna say trash it.
All right, here's the next one. That was Local H was the name of that band. Nice. And here's the next one.
You remember
I feel like it's a
trash
camp.
It.
I feel like it's a store yes. sale opening Memorial Day weekend. Get all your summer needs down here at JCPenney's. Hold your tops for girls, lights and boots.
I feel like I'm waiting on the elevator.
Is that Kylie Minogue?
I'm in the elevator. Second floor.
Is that Kylie Minogue?
No, so that was Cisco featuring Vitamin C.
Vitamin C.
Vitamin oh, my God. C.
All right, here's the next one.
Oh, my God.
I know who would love this.
Wow,
John!
All right, this is blasphemy.
It'd be like at the five spot. This is how you would play it at the five spot. Yeah.
It's not postmodern jukebox.
This
is
postmodern jukebox. Okay. Yeah,
I just love some of the stuff.
Suits, you know?
I want to apologize to David Page and Steve Lukather for that version of the song.
But they can have that in the background of an old gangster movie.
Yes!
Listen, see, we're going to run out of town because this ain't the place for you, see?
I love
hey,
that
buddy.
Baseline. It starts
Why do you get off talking to me like that? Don't you know I'm the boss? You're the boss of nothing.
It's
That's what I'm saying.
It's for you.
Yes. One for you, one, two for me.
All right, we
got to get cement galoshes.
We got two more. Here's the next one.
Two.
This is it.
Worst of all.
This is it.
I love it.
This is it.
We're keeping this.
I love it.
Build me a buttercup, don't break my heart.
Oh, man. I think every band that sounds like that is the Ramones. I know it's not.
Nah.
They were a band called The Goops that only had that cover for the Mallrats soundtrack. That
oh, my goodness.
It'd be fun to play the song at that time.
I kind of like that.
I like that tempo.
It'd be kind of neat to do that one time. See how it goes over.
Right. You know what? Tomorrow night at St. Dennis.
We're yes.
Oh, absolutely. And we won't tell the other guys in the band. Just start playing that and see if they catch on.
Oh, is that the gig Matt's on? Is he on
no,
tomorrow?
That's Sunday.
Oh, it'd be great if Matt was on.
So how are you guys doing? Somebody said to Ed, Matt's been on a lot of gigs lately. And Ed goes, he's just confused.
I said, yeah, Matt, are you still, is he back in the band yet or what?
He's just confused.
All right, and this is the last one. It's the deepest cut. It's a very rare song. Not many people have ever heard this cover. So here we go.
Oh my God, Dennis! My headphones are like poof, poof.
I love you, baby.
Let me break it down with a little RB shipping here. Hold up.
Quiet.
It just fades out.
Did he say this is my cadenza?
Yeah.
It was so rapid fire. It's like,
I miss that so much. Remember one girl came up to me, was at a wedding or something, you know, and he does a thing. She goes, "You ruined the song." And then another woman walked up, I think at 23 East, and said, "You're a disgrace to white people."
That's when he would rap. There was what song did he rap?
That was
Getting Jiggy with It.
Yeah.
And he would pull his sock up over his jeans.
Just one sock.
Did anybody ever ask him, do you practice that? I mean, do you have to know what you're going to do? I don't know.
Oh, man.
He also invented
the get up on the ladder and direct Gabby at the end of the scene. From the Italian restaurant.
As we've reached our elder years, nobody gets up on the ladder.
Here, I started off when he was first in the band. I hated him. I wanted to kill him. Like, beat his ass. You know, I was pissed at Matt for getting him in the band. And by the end there, I freaking loved him.
I mean, he's a, you know, he is who he is. But his arranging was unbelievably good.
Oh, yeah.
Really good. That was good.
Of
was
course,
good.
I don't know if we said it.
We didn't say it.
Mike Jarosz.
Mike Jarosz.
That's Mike Jarosz.
Original member of Chico's Vibe, right?
The original trumpet
Original
player.
Member. I thought you were going to play Sid Vicious's version of My Way.
You know, we've got to save some of these for you got to bring it back one day.
Future episode.
When I might have said to Ed one time, we got three or four left at least. And I think Sue got mad that I was.
Yes. My wife too.
That we didn't have like you know many more episodes, so we got to save.
This is my favorite night of the month.
So that Mike Jarosz leads us directly to this month's song from the set list, which is "Can't Take My Eyes Off You."
Good segue.
So it's a song that looms large, I think, in the Chico's Vibe ongoing playlist. "Can't Take My Eyes Off of You." It's by Frankie Valli. It's actually. Frankie Valli. Valli in the Four Seasons. It was released in 19...
But wasn't it written by Cardio?
Why do I even write notes? Yes, Dennis.
Go ahead.
It was released in 1967. But yes, despite the fact that it's just Frankie Valli as a solo artist, it was written by a member of the Four Seasons, Bob Gaudio, who also wrote bunch of other Four Seasons songs. He wrote Sherry, he wrote Big Girls Don't Cry, Walk Like a Man, and yes, he wrote Oh What a Night. The song was reached number 2 on the Billboard charts in 1967. Frankie Valli would later have 2 number ones in the 1970s. I'm wondering if you guys know
Oh What a Night.
Yeah,
the theme.
My eyes adored you.
Yes, that was the number one. So no, Oh What a Night was actually Four Seasons.
Oh, yeah. So just Frankie Valli.
Was it the Grease song?
Frankie Valli's a solo artist. Yes, Grease was the other number one.
Oh, yeah.
And for the year 1967, it was the number 10 song for the year 1967. I feel like when we did the Monkees that we may have reviewed, the 1967 Hot 100, I listened to the podcast and I didn't hear it, but I might have missed it. But anyway, I thought it's a great year, so I thought I'd review the top 10 for 1967. To Sir With Love. Was the number one song.
Which we just did somewhere.
Yeah, the top 10 for 67 is littered.
Back in October for Mike St. O'Leary's daughter's wedding.
Got it, right.
Yeah.
The top 10 is littered with Chico's Vibe favorites. So number 2 is The Letter, but by the Box Tops.
Box Tops.
Okay.
Number 3 is Ode to Billy Joel.
Me and Doc do that.
Yeah, but Bobby Gentry?
Bobby Gentry, yeah.
And then number 4 was Windy.
Association.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Know,
great
yeah.
song.
I don't know that one.
Who's walking down the street?
Calling at
everybody she sees.
Never heard that
before. You know it. No.
Everyone knows it's windy.
Was anybody in this room born alive at that time?
The two of us.
I see. I wasn't born yet.
67.
66.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
I was 12.
That might be why.
I was 1.
I was 4.
I was in St. Dennis.
I
Dennis.
Might have been 8 months at the
You were
time.
Singing Irish songs at St. Dennis.
Always Irish songs at St. Dennis. Don't get me started.
Yeah, I was 1974, so I wasn't until later.
Okay.
But you know what? All those Irish songs that I learned at St. Dennis?
Yeah.
They paid off for the priests.
They did. Number 6 was Light My Fire.
Only number 6.
Wait.
For the year. That's big. Top 10 for the year. Yeah.
Sir With Love beat out.
It was 67, so it had to be the Doors.
Would they play it in its entirety on the radio?
Oh, it could have been Jose Feliciano.
Would they cut it?
AM version.
Yes.
But probably
a little aside about that song, it's like, you know, I wasn't playing in bands yet or anything, but I knew some guys like Michael Cimbello and a couple older guys that loved Light My Fire because it offered them like extended areas to play solos.
Yeah.
You know, like Inagata DeVita was already out, but who the hell wanted to do that dopey thing? But when Light My Fire came out, you know, you had the keyboard thing, you had the guitar, and those guys loved it for that reason.
We could do that tomorrow night at St. Dennis and
Light My Fire.
Kill a whole set.
Maybe 30 minutes worth. Father Gallagher will love it.
Excellent. Number seven was Something Stupid.
Oh,
the Sinatra. We drew that one. Eh?
Frank and Nancy.
Yeah. Happy Together was number eight.
Okay.
Groovin' was number nine.
Who did that?
Do we do that?
The Young Rascals.
Grooving.
Oh, so- oh no, me and Doc do it. Sorry.
Yeah, I always get that mixed. I always just think it's.
We
the
do
turtles,
the other one.
What's that? It's a beautiful.
Yeah.
What's
they
the
were great band. They had lots of.
Can you sing
lots
the grooving
bands.
One? I don't know that.
Grooving on a Sunday afternoon.
Oh, okay.
Grooving. But yeah, so that's the top 10 for 67. Great year.
Yeah.
Can't Take My Eyes Off You. I always say Can't Take My Eyes Off of You, but there's no of in the title.
Off you. Can't Take My Eyes Off You.
Yes. It's become an iconic song over the years. It's been featured in a number of movies. I just remember seeing in theaters The Deer Hunter. I don't know if you guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was huge in The Deer Hunter.
Yeah.
That, like, bang, that song.
Yeah.
Right back.
That was at the wedding, the big wedding scene, I think.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, no. Was that, I'm sorry, it was in a bar
it
before
was in the
bar.
Bar.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The wedding scene was like. The guy gets up and starts singing "Blue Moon." And you see all the buddies, De Niro, and this jerk off have to sing this song.
Oh man! But it was in Bridget Jones' Diary. I have a vague recollection of that scene. It was, of course, it was also in favorite of Dennis Cicchino's, the musical and the movie Jersey Boys.
Jersey Boys.
Oh, right. Yes.
Right, and then
well, okay, man,
I was going to say wasn't. Wasn't that the song that kind of revived Frankie Valli's career?
Yes. Because
it was like, I know his daughter his daughter overdosed on drugs or committed suicide or something like that. And that's why he wrote My Eyes
My
Adored
Eyes
You.
Adore
oh,
you,
wow.
Because he wrote
oh,
it
I
for
didn't
her.
Know that.
Well, that was all part of the show.
Yeah,
the
it was all part of the show and the movie. But I remember that because I remember in the movie when they started. You know, Can't Take My Eyes Off of You. The lights go on.
Yes,
it's like from behind the stage. Like you're behind Frankie Valli.
That's right. Cool.
And, you know, so, and that was like, that was the revival of his career.
Yeah, because he had sort of suffered the British invasion too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And as far as they tried to point out in the movie, none of like the A&R or record companies wanted it.
No.
They're like, it was too weird.
Reading up, that's what the songwriter
said. Weird thing you got going
said
on.
There was some radio station in Canada that first started to play it.
Yeah. They used it as a wake-up song for the shuttle in space, too, NASA.
Oh, that's cool.
They start the morning shift with a song.
It starts off mellow and kicks ass. Yeah.
And I guess what it means, too, like, as Mission Control, we're never going to take our eyes off
can't
you.
Take
look at that, Ed.
Yeah. Good point,
think
Ed.
Of that.
You know.
And then if for our podcast listeners who haven't seen it, it's a movie version that's, I think, going to inspire Chico's vibe at Rose Tree Park this year. And that's the version by Denise Richards.
Oh, my God. Was that
amazing.
Was that her?
Yes.
Denise Richards.
From the movie Drop Dead Gorgeous, Denise Richards and her Jesus on Wheels.
Look it up, folks.
It'll change your
it's
life.
It's gold.
Unless you
it's
want to
gold.
Be surprised
Let
at Rose Tree.
Let me put it this way. Look it up. Unless you're a devout Catholic and you're going to get like really, really mad at things like that. But she walks off like,
Carrie.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Anyway, but that's sort of the history of the song. The song itself, I think, has a great structure.
Wait, you know what you didn't mention?
No.
My favorite part of the song, and this doesn't happen every time we do it.
The horns.
But when Gebby gets inspired...
Oh, yeah.
He grabs the wireless.
We're not doing it yet.
Wait, you got it in there.
It's all part of his script.
I was talking about the history of the song.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Continue.
Go ahead. No.
Clip. Well, you don't give me a syllabus.
It's because it's supposed to be spontaneous.
Yes.
Well, I was spontaneous.
Ladies and gentlemen, I threw my notes to the ground. Go ahead.
Just like Chico and Gebby broke up last night.
That's right. This is the end of the podcast.
No, go ahead.
My favorite part of last night is Ed and I played horns on the song. And Dennis goes, I love the horns on a Chico and Gebby gig. It's too bad we don't play together anymore.
And meanwhile, Gabby's like, look at you, you're a mess. You got cake all over the board. I'll plug it in. And then me and we're on the side like, oh, hey, how's your day?
I love Sue Gillespie rolling me out that hospital table. So I can put my...
You said, I'm taking this home.
She said, well, Dan, I'll get you a better one. I'll bring it home for us. Yeah, absolutely. Better one. Yeah, sure. All right, John, where are we now?
Okay. Oh, my God. I was just talking about the...
I'm drunk. I'm lost.
We could change the name of the podcast.
Drunk and Lost.
Drunk and Lost.
Am I doing a Gabby story, or you have it in the itinerary?
Not necessarily. No, I don't have that specifically written down.
Well, you see.
I think he was getting to us performing the song.
The song's got a great structure.
Yeah.
Because it starts with that wistful beginning. It's got the horn, like, interlude,
right.
The bridge, and then this chorus that everybody knows and everybody sings along. And it's like a celebration, celebration chorus.
And it's a great intro, too, because you got, like, an F sharp major chord with E in the bass.
I gotta look at Gabby every time.
With E in the bass. Just, peddling E. Yeah, I should show you. But it's just interesting that that's how the song would start. You know?
Cool.
But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, awesome song. But then I think in terms of performance, you know, a lot of times we talk about what songs we did before, what songs came from Hoey. This is a Chico's Vibe song.
Yeah.
I don't ever remember playing it in a band before. So who came up with the idea to do the song? And you guys, when we do it,
I don't know if I did or not.
When we do it, it's Chico and Gabby shared vocals, which I think is also a neat feature of the song.
I think we had to learn it. A wedding.
Oh,
but it was early Chico's Vibe. I think you hear Jarreau's singing it. Back in.
I think it was like a first dance at a wedding.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so too.
No, because you guys were doing it when Ed and I joined the band, as people probably heard on prior podcasts, at the same time. It was our first rehearsal.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I remember rehearsing this, and the song has that trombone, but it, and I couldn't get it. And I remember Matt just looking at me like...
Because we kicked out.
And then that one makes it worse, you know?
We kicked out his trombone choice.
Yes.
Which was a smart move on our part, because we got you.
It's a bright key on the horns, too, because it's all the sharps.
Yeah, E major, you guys are an F sharp. It's a tough
key. Not a key that you find that you play in often. On the saxophone. So it's like really bright.
It's a lot of sharps.
Mm-hmm.
And then the song eventually, I don't know when it started, but it's a lot of times it's our next to last song.
Yeah.
It's the preparation for the end of the evening. It's a great song for that because it kind of, the audience is at the point where they've maybe a little bit been danced out.
Right.
But they're still in the celebration mode, and that song's great for that. Dennis, you're the genius of the set list. When did you first think to put that at that spot?
Probably when I was like 12. I don't know. I think a lot of stuff just happened spontaneously. You know, when I write a set, I said, I'll put this in. And then it works so well.
It's kind of like Mozart writing the...
It just worked out so well as like second to the last, right before Silly Love Songs. I said, this is a keeper. That's why I run around Sue into What a Night. I know when these guys write the sets, they don't like doing that. But it's like a perfect pairing because it's just run around Sue, which I used to like and I hate because I've sang it so many times over the years. But it just... people flock to the dance floor as soon as they hear that first part. They come running out. And Oh What a Night, it's got that groove. People love that too. And they dig when you guys do your horn thing. You see
still
people
like
out
it.
There trying to copy and they're doing it wrong and all that stuff. It's just like things happen and you notice on a gig that works with that. Oh, this works and you know, this doesn't. And that's how I came up with my set writing.
Excellent. So when did you first get up and sing solo? And what came first, Gabby doing it or Jarreau's?
I don't know. Giroux stealing was first.
It. Really?
Yeah.
I would have thought Gebbie, like, with his family, would have been the first.
Nah.
That would have inspired Giroux.
No. Giroux.
Or Gebbie, maybe you were like, that's exactly what I'm not going to be.
Yes.
What he's doing right there.
Exactly.
Could have been, like, the reverse psychology.
Well, so people, when Giroux did it, people were stunned and horrified. And we all laughed.
Shocked.
Yes. When Gebbie does it, people... they love it. They're like, oh, there he goes. And, you know, he's over there now.
It's like the coolest thing. Gebbie, like, grabs the wireless and walks out. If his mom's there, he's going to go up right up to her, mom, you know. But sometimes you go up to the bride and groom if he knows them or somebody in the crowd.
Well,
like,
I do remember
with Bob Higgins a couple times.
Yeah, I do remember one wedding where, what's the place down in the old, it was the MTV
place in the city.
Oh,
yeah.
I can't remember.
It was called Fuel for a while.
Yeah,
down on
whatever.
Oak Street, yeah.
But I remember we were doing it there, and there was the upstairs balcony. And I took the mic, like, right in the beginning, so we're at the ban, so I had time.
Yeah.
And I ran up the stairs, like, so nobody knew where I went. I ran up the stairs, and I was at the top of the balcony, and I start singing the chorus. And everybody's like looking around. Well, now I'm starting to run out of gas because I'm like, I love you, baby. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't get my breath. I'm like, this was a mistake. It's like in my head, I heard you go, uh oh.
I never lived that down. And I swear I didn't mean it.
Oh, man. But yeah, it was just.
It's great.
I think
stuff.
It was just spontaneous one gig or something.
Cool. Yeah, great stuff. Great song. Any other memories about that song that you guys can think of? That
one thing I could think of is sometimes it's a first dance, and I'm all thrown off because it's the end of the when that song happens, it's the end of the night, and I just remember it being the first dance, and I'm like, God, here we are already at the third, and oh no!
But that's this month's song from the set list. Really is a Chico's Vibe classic. I mean, I think it's a great song, and I think we bring our own spin, our own... Yeah. Spin's not the right word.
We also extend on the second chorus. Yeah.
Yes.
That horn thing is extended
twice as long.
Yeah, than it is on the recording. That was us.
That's right.
We did that.
That was Giroux's.
Yeah. No, good stuff. So...
Next.
Print it, cut it.
So that means we have to pick next month's song from the set list.
Oh shit.
So somebody pick a song, a classic.
A classic
Chico's Vibe song.
All right, I'm gonna pick Run Around Sue just because I hate it so much. Where it came from, and you know, it's been a staple since the very first day of Chico's Vibe.
Okay. That's fair enough.
Yeah. And there's a little story to how the horns are all over the place on that. Not all over the place, but how there's a lot of horns in the song that aren't in the
original. Aren't in the original,
Right.
Yeah, I feel like that was Giroux writing something on the way to a gig or something like that.
Yeah.
Right? Like on
telling
paper.
Him, say,
or napkin or something.
Mike, put some horns in there.
The craziest was the Give It To Me. A chart, and that was written on like a shredded piece of like orange.
Yes!
and it just got more damaged after each gig, and we didn't do it all the time, so it wasn't something. It wasn't something that we had like under like super muscle memory, and then we'd be like, oh no, they're gonna do it! Pull out this thing, it looked like,
and then like. The lights in the place are dim, and it's like,
can't read it. Right.
And he wrote a Giroux's hard riff.
He was like,
it's not even close to the original.
It was crazy, and all my harmonies were like, you know.
Speaking of that, when Dennis writes the set list, if there's certain songs that the client picked, he'd put them in red.
Okay. Yeah.
Set list.
Oh.
And George would have those rotating lights, and I just remember like looking at the set list, and all of a sudden songs would disappear. I'm like, "Whoa! What the heck's going on?"
Oh my god. Oh man. All right, we got it. Run around Sue. To cap off, we usually finish up by talking about a song that we recently heard that we know that we like that we might want to do as part of Chico's Vibe.
I really want to do Hell by Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Ah.
And maybe even
That's
maybe
been
even
a long time Ed Mount favorite.
What's the song?
It's in the afterlife. It'd be like a good first set. I played it with Matt's Machine and the place went crazy both times. It was a good crowd pleaser.
What? You played with Matt's Machine?
Right, I don't want to hear about other bands. All right.
I like those guys, man.
No,
trash it.
Would you sing it, Ed? Who would be the vocalist on this
Ed
one?
Ed wants to sing it, yes.
Now you make the scene all day, but tomorrow they'll be held to be. And the whole band goes,
in
the afterlife. You could be heading for the serious strife. Now you make the scene all day, but tomorrow they'll be held to pay.
This is the happiest you've been all podcast.
I feel like Ed has performed this over and over again in his bedroom.
Yes!
In front of the mirror. I think I could do it in my Darth Vader helmet. I could step like this.
I won't lie. Anytime I hear that song, I'm like, what scenario can I get Chico's Vibe to learn the song and let me sing lead on it? Because damnation part where they just spell it the D and the A and the M and the N and the A and the T and the I O N.
Lose your faith. Lose
your
faith.
You got it, Matt.
No, that's my song.
I know that's the best part.
It's your song.
About 30 seconds ago, he was like, no, we're not doing this. And then
no, I'm digging that. Ed always picks good songs.
Well, Matt, you can do it.
Let me put it this way. Ed always picks songs I don't necessarily like, but they work. All the stuff
brother.
He picks.
Thanks, bro.
I'm serious.
I'm go back.
You know, even like My Funny Valentine, it's big. My funny. Oh, we played it up at the Knights of Columbus that time with your friend. Oh, God.
And then you're like, who gets on stage and picks that? That's what he says. And as she's coming off the stage, who gets on stage and picks that?
It always reminds me, there's a Howard Stern version of Sinatra doing it, but Sinatra, as he's, you know, going into dementia, he's like, my funny turpentine. It's like, you know, like.
Anyway, all right, John, let's go.
Next. Well, who's picking next? Oh, you picked.
Me?
No, yeah.
I'm picking Larry Kirschner's Old Friends. Mike Liney's going to like that.
I have two, but I think I'm leaning towards this one because Matt just performed with this group over the weekend, this past weekend. Eminence Front.
I love that song.
That's a good song.
We did that one time.
We did. Yeah. We did it once.
Yeah, we did it once.
It was only for introductions or something.
Oh, right.
Why do you want to do that of all the Who songs?
Why you got a question? This whole segment is just.
Hey, he gave my song to your cousin. I mean,
I know.
You know. Your nephew.
You know, you're not the boss of me.
Oh my God!
I like the song. I'm just wondering, like, all those great Who songs. I think we should fix up the end of Teenage Wasteland, Baba O'Reilly, so we can do the song.
That would be good.
You know. Yaddish was, I could see he was learning that violin part the last time we played it down at the Windrift, but, you know, these guys, and the fuck.
Why are we to blame?
Not you.
Not him
Gabby
either.
And whoever's on bass and drums.
Okay, yeah, drink up.
It's the truth, Gavin, you know it.
Oh, man. I'll pick a Who song for you, see if you like it. You ever hear the song 515?
Yeah.
That would be a fun horn song. Yes. It would never work anywhere. But
no, we're not doing that. Yeah. But, so pick another one.
A Who song or any song?
Who?
No, it's not.
How about The Real Me?
Whoa. You know, I used to do that in Big Daddy Band.
Yeah, it would never work.
You bet.
That would be
That would be a good one.
Yeah.
Or how about I do a song and then you give it to Matt? do that.
Hey, man.
You know, I really like Oingo Boingo, so I'm happy to sing Lean On Me.
You Matt. Son of a...
Matt, by any chance, do you know Green Eyes?
Oh, you son of a... Oh.
That would have been great last night. Is that,
I'm a big doing... fan of feeling stronger every day.
Chicago. Oh. Last night, Ed starts to sing Bad, Bad Leroy Brown for the priest, and Matt comes...
I love this tune. I play saxophone too. Like, shut up.
Oh man. Well, I think that about gets us to the end.
Yeah, but I'm not done talking, so you guys can go.
Bonus material.
Just Matt, just for, let it run. You can go to bed. He'll just stay up here and talk.
I feel like it'll be like the end of Airplane.
Indefinitely.
Remember at the end of Airplane after he lands the
you
airplane.
You have trouble falling asleep at night, folks?
And he's still talking Christmas. What does it even mean? Not guys like us, men like us, real men. You know what I'm talking about? And the cockpit's empty. You know?
I got to go home and watch that. Anyway, let's just, you know, I just want to say thank you to producer Matt, man. He's
here. Yeah, great segment, producer Matt today. Yeah.
Every month. And he does a great job. And to John Parkinson for great ideas.
Hey, producer Matt, you want to plug any other of your podcasts?
I mean, if anyone wants to start a podcast, they can hit me up at weknowpodcasting.com and I can help them out with that. But I got a couple, I guess. One hit the ones that listeners of this show might enjoy would be One Hit Thunder. Every week we break down a one-hit wonder and decide if they were a one-hit blunder or if they brought the one-hit thunder.
That's a great idea.
And then there's a Weird Algorithm where myself and the bassist from Weedus break down every song in Weird Al's discography to decide
think,
what his best song was.
I think Ed
was.
Mount has already subscribed to that.
That's
pretty awesome.
Good stuff, man.
Yeah, so check those out.
Excellent. Yeah.
And folks, let me just tell you, he's not the cheapest. But that's because he's the best.
That's right.
He uses copper.
Oh, man. That's a wrap. Episode 10 of the podcast.
Excellent.
Woo!
We have guests tonight?
No.
Good. I hate those guests.